Welcome to Unlocking the Decentralized Podcast. In this episode, cryptocurrency expert Abhinav Somani explores Web3, blockchain, cryptocurrency tax and investment, while engaging with industry pioneers, technologists, and investors. Here is your host, Abhinav Somani.
Welcome to the ninth episode of Unlocking the Decentralized. Today, we're going to talk about how investors can safeguard their investments from potential hacks and theft. The number of cryptocurrency investors is growing by the day, and the entire crypto community is growing as well. But it's equally important for investors to understand the importance of safeguarding their own investments, because with crypto investing, there's no bank, there's no third party securing your assets, nor will the government be able to back you up with such sort of a theft. The blockchain technology was created for individuals to take full control of their funds, and the only downside of it is potential hacks without any security. Now, let's begin with how common is cryptocurrency theft and can cryptocurrency platforms be easily hacked. As per reports, $1 billion worth of crypto was hacked from Jan 2022 to July 2022, which is as of today. It's very common and can easily be hacked because it's as easy as hacking into someone's computer. Now, crypto hacks have become more common today, due to which I highly recommend all investors with a few tips that they can safeguard their assets with. First is two-factor authentication using the Google Authenticator, email verification before getting access to your account, and set passwords that can be less commonly used. For example, do not use your name in it. So it's at least more difficult for the hacker to get into your wallet. Now let's point out a few hack situations or potential theft scenarios. The first one that comes to my mind is mobile SIM hacks. Now how this works is that the hacker essentially gets access to the investor's phone and hacks the mobile device, or actually the SIM card provider. So now he can totally control everything that happens on the phone and basically sends an OTP to himself that now he has access to and can enter any exchange, any wallet, and transfer coins from the actual owner's wallet to his own wallet, that's the hacker's wallet. Now, this does happen. It might sound surprising, but I have heard this firsthand from one of my clients in the recent times. So, which is why if you use the Google Authenticator app with a face ID recognition, the chances of your, you know, even if your mobile SIM gets hacked, the chances of it getting stolen or your crypto getting stolen is still very slim. The second one and the most common one is online wallet address hacks. For example, like a wallet as MetaMask or Trust Wallet. These can be hacked quite easily, and have heard a lot of clients complaining about their wallets being hacked. Now, once your tokens are stolen or are transferred out from your wallet to the hacker's wallet, there's almost no way to, you know, track it or trace where the money is gone or where your coins have been sent. Then comes the investment scam. Now, I call this the investment scam because I have assisted at least five clients in the past few months that have complained about this sort of a scam, where the scammers basically tell you that they will invest on your behalf and they ask you to send over some Bitcoin or Ethereum and they will do a test run with you. Now, this example is just to warn a few investors or listeners that these are situations that you should be aware of. Now, if I am the investor, I get a call from this company that says, you send me $5,000 worth of Bitcoin and we will do the investing for you. And then I will ask them as an investor, like, okay, if I want to cash out, how does that work? So they do a test run, they send me back $50 and be like, okay, this is how you can cash your money out. So once you send them the initial investment of $5,000, what they do is they will show you a trading dashboard and they'll probably be showing you dummy trades that show that, okay, now your portfolio is going up to 10, 15, 20, 30, and so on. So when you reach a point, you go like, okay, now my portfolio is showing $100,000 and I want to cash out. So what they do is they will probably tell you that, okay, now if you want to cash out, you have to send over 10% of your portfolio value as security and just as transfer fees. So now you have to send them $10,000 to encash your $100,000. Sounds like a good deal, but then when you send them the $10,000, that will basically be your last transaction with them and never hear from them ever again. So the question might be for all investors is that, where do you even keep all your crypto investments that they can be safeguarded? Now, there's a few options that investors have. One, you can store it with exchanges, having on your active account like Coinbase, Binance. But however, in the recent times, we've seen how Celsius, being one of the biggest exchanges, declared bankruptcy and investors were unable to withdraw funds. Now, this is a drawback and a pushback at the same time for investors that they might not get access to their own funds if, you know, something goes wrong with the exchange platform. Another option that they have is online wallets like MetaMask and Trust Wallet, which again are not too safe like we discussed before. So the only point that I'm trying to make here is that if you really want to keep your funds safe, use an offline wallet, which is a thumb drive. Now, Ledger Nano has excellent thumb drives that you can use, which cannot be hacked at all, basically, because you need the actual thumb drive to be inserted in a computer, and then you have to add your address keys. So without the physical thumb drive and without the actual keys that you work with that thumb drive, no one can hack your wallet. A few of these platforms also have an option to store your tokens in a funding account instead of trading account. Now, the difference between these two is that funding account is basically where your funds can be just stored and locked in, and trading account is where you can actually make active trades. My recommendation would be, you know, if you do not have access to things like a Ledger Nano thumb drive, just use larger exchange platforms like Coinbase, Binance. If you're in India, you can use something like a WazirX or CoinSwitch that can actually safeguard your assets and you have some trust in them. So let's talk about what happens when these coins are actually stolen, and can investors claim a loss when these coins get stolen? Now, a lot of investors have lost money in recent times, and my personal experience says that none of these clients were able to actually track where the money is gone. And the government has set certain guidelines according to which any loss or theft that you have in cryptocurrency cannot be offset against gains. Now, this might sound unfair to investors, but at the same time, the government has not really come up with certain, you know, rules or regulations in terms of such theft. However, you still have that option to claim this as a loss, and you can, you know, gather every possible supporting document and just present it in an audit situation, because I'm pretty sure that if you try to claim a loss against profits, and especially a loss that happened in case of thefts, you will have to, you know, support your case and provide the government with sufficient supporting documents here. There is a way that investors can claim such a loss. For example, if you have certain tokens that do not have any liquidity in the market. Now, having no liquidity means there's no demand in the market for the tokens that you have. And if you really want to claim a loss on them, you can send them to a burnt address that is provided by the token company, which clearly says that you no more have access to those funds. And essentially, you sold it for a $0, you know, amount. So whatever your cost basis is can be used as 100% loss towards any other gain that you have on investments. A few other ways how investors can actually safeguard their, you know, tokens from a potential hack is just store it in different wallets, because firstly, it doesn't cost any money to just open up a wallet like a MetaMask and keep having multiple of them, store like $10,000 in one, $20 in another, and so on and so forth. There's an old saying that says, you know, do not store all your eggs in one basket. For example, if a basket falls off, you lose all your eggs. That kind of relates when it comes to cryptocurrency. So I recommend all investors to just keep some coins in multiple wallets. So even if one of them gets hacked, you still have the rest of them with you that are not lost. And this can also be beneficial if you're actually storing coins on exchanges. For example, if I had an account with Coinbase, Binance, Gemini, Celsius, WazirX, and CoinSwitch. Now, Celsius declared bankruptcy, but then if I had all my investments on Celsius, then I would lose access to all my investments. But right now, if I have accounts with all these exchanges, it's just one of my investment accounts that I do not have access to. I still have access to 6 or 7 of my accounts that I have on the side. In my opinion, cryptocurrency wallets can easily overtake the need or, you know, the use case of banks. But again, everything has its benefits and disadvantages at the same time. For example, when it comes to cryptocurrency wallets, there's no government guidelines as such. There's no government security. There's no bank security for transactions. However, when it comes to wallet transactions, you can make transfers within literally a few minutes. And, you know, there's no maximum threshold of making a transaction. You do not have to have any bank formalities, no bank fees. No KYC, no transaction plus 2 days. The only, you know, pushback, as I mentioned before, is that you are responsible for your own transaction. Once these tokens are sent from your wallet to another wallet, there's no reversible transaction possible. You know, once you make the transaction, that's about it. The money has been already sent to the receiver. So double check the wallet address before sending the money. So it is riskier because banks are not really involved in protection or theft when it comes to using crypto wallets for these transfers. But at the same time, think about it in this way that if you make a bank transfer, the bank is going to charge you an amount for making the transfer. There's going to be, if it's international, it might even take foreign transaction fees, ask you for a lot of documentation. So we can see a lot of advantages and disadvantages at the same time. So it's totally up to the investors. Which one do you prefer the most? Like, you know, are you okay with making bank transactions, having the protection of theft with banks, or would you like to have complete control of your funds, but then you do not have anyone protecting you at the same time? There's another very common theft, I would say, when it comes to just cryptocurrency transaction theft, but this is not really something to do with transactions. This is more to do with double spending. So let's walk you through what is double spending. Now, it basically refers to when the hacker now has access to your transaction that you're about to make. And on your screen, it might show that you are making the transfer to the destination that you really want to make it. But at the same time, the hacker has already taken control of your transaction. So as you make the transfer command, these tokens are actually going to go and get deposited into the hacker's account instead of where you really want to send it. So you still on your end can see that the coins are going to the destination which you wanted to go to, and you will feel that everything is good to go, but the coins are already gone somewhere else. Now, these kinds of thefts and hacks can be, you know, scary at times for investors, but again, because of the whole blockchain mechanism and the technology involved, it is the responsibility of investors to basically just safeguard everything they have and be very mindful before making such transactions. Now, these hacks mostly happen only on like online wallets like MetaMask and Trust Wallet, but if you're using something like a Ledger Nano drive that's a thumb drive, it's almost impossible to hack it. So instead of taking the risk of actually storing your hard-earned money or life savings onto an online platform that's not backed by any government authority nor banking institution, you'd rather have something more safeguarded for yourself. That if, for example, for a Ledger Nano wallet, that can be only stolen, or the funds or your crypto coins can be stolen from a Ledger Nano only if the actual thumb drive is stolen along with the private keys associated with it. Now, the chances of that happening together are very slim, and only if you actually hand over the thumb drive to someone along with the keys, that's when you lose access to the funds. Now, I'll talk about a situation where the entire blockchain can get hacked. This process is known as selfish mining. Now, first, let's explain what is a mining process and how does it actually work. So, for example, if I'm mining coins, I send the coins that are mined for approval to the block. Once I get an approval, there's a transaction hash that is assigned to me, and that'll be a series of sequenced numbers. Now, the block mined after mine will have a transaction hash based on the transaction hash assigned to me. So, for example, I get A11. So the block after me will get A12. That's how the sequence works. Now, this is how even the data is converted into a chain of blocks, which is why it's called as a blockchain. So what happens with selfish mining is that if I am a selfish miner, I go ahead and mine multiple blocks, which is not the right way to do it. The right way to do it is every time you mine tokens and you mine a block, you send to the blockchain for approval. But if I'm a selfish miner and I mine several blocks at the same time to create a simultaneous chain alongside the existing original blockchain. Now, if that blockchain goes through, the people or the miners who are mining their tokens after mine believe that the chain that I have is the original blockchain and they follow the sequence that is provided by me. So essentially, all the rewards that are received from the blockchain are received by me and all the benefits are taken away by me. So basically, how many of the tokens that get mined after my chain or my block are now under my control and are basically owned by me as a selfish miner. So this is how miners can actually, you know, safeguard their mining process and make sure that you are actually following the right chain. Cryptocurrency is a very new medium of investment, so do your own research and keep your own funds safe. Because unlike banks, no one will be here to save your money, and nor will the government be able to back you in any way, because as you heard before in today's episode, that if you lose money in form of a hack, you cannot really claim that loss against any other gain that you might have, unless you would like to go the audit route and show them that you burned those tokens instead of it being stolen. To sum it up, the safest way to keep your cryptocurrency tokens, in my opinion, as of today, is to own a Ledger Nano thumb drive, which is an actual physical thumb drive. It has private keys, and you need both of these to work together to have actual access to funds. If you still feel that you're not too confident about having your own funds safe, feel free to reach out to the team at CryptoTax and allow us to assist you with ways how you can actually keep your money safe and cryptocurrencies safeguarded. Thank you so much for joining today's episode, and I'll see you in the next one.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Unlocking the Decentralized. This podcast is sponsored by CryptoTax, your one-stop solution for cryptocurrency taxes. Learn more at cryptotax.co.in.